he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Try to get up. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. This is season 3, episode 24. We don't have a name for it.
Mark the Caddy.
Mark the Caddy and Kev the Cop-Hide. Cop-Out, sorry.
The footy season is upon us, like.
It could be Kev the Cop-Hide if Everton carry on.
We haven't spent a penny, have we? Not a single penny.
Disgraceful. No, no one wants to come to us.
Difficult times.
It is, but it's a golf podcast.
Let's get on to it. How are we?
Very well. You played any golf?
I played yesterday for the first time in about 2 months. Yeah, I played 9 holes.
Did you though?
I played 7 of the 9. A couple of blobs in there. Yeah. Well, it starts off all right. Played off the yellows just in last night. Teed off at like 10 to 6. Played. It missed the green on the first, up and down for par, 3 for 2 points. Made the 6 on the second, 6 for 2 points. Made a bogey on the third, put it into the bunker off the tee, chipped out. Never got up and down, 5 for 2. On the fourth, put it into the fairway bunker again, chipped out. Played an unbelievable shot to about 8 foot and knocked it in for a par. So
nice.
Standing on the fifth tee, I was on 8 points, stable to 2-4. So I was thinking, this isn't too bad, considering I haven't literally picked a golf club up in, 2 months, I would say.
Yeah.
And then straight into the bush on 5. Hit 3 off the tee. Ripped that next drive, to be fair, and made a par with my second ball. So that was a 6 for 1 point. And then I fucking had a double top on 6. I topped it off the tee into the bush in front of me and then topped it again to the same bush. Found my first one. Hit it and then lost it.
Oh my word.
So I was like, lost 2 balls in that hole. Stood on 7. Made a par 5 on 7. Made a bogey on 8. And then lost my ball off the 90. Blob.
Cost you about the 10 of that round then.
So yeah, so 12 put stable for points for 9 holes. But it was good. It was good just to get out, you know, and just swing the golf clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you played?
Since that lesson that I had, I've been the range a couple of times, and then I played the Hillside Captain's Day on Sunday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, we had a non-golfer in the team by the name of James Nugent, and you'll probably listen to this, but he done well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a couple of bogeys with his 2 shots and all that, and then he had a couple of putts for par. But then just 4 putts at them. I think the green, he's been playing bootle, and that's the greens were just a bit much for him at Hillside. And it was good. Like, it was just a fun day. Like, we had a fella, like one lad that we knew, and another fella that was sound. Like, on the second tee, he named Nuggie the Dubai Duffer. Like, on the second hole that we played, or the third hole, sorry, we started on 16. Oh, it was funny, you know.
For context there, he's living out in Dubai, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he lives in Abu Dhabi, yeah, but it was the Dubai Duffer was just brilliant. We started on 16, and there was Beat the Junior. So James Platt, I think the junior's name was, he was on the tee, and his dad was there, and his dad was, like, going down, like, collecting the balls or whatever. And as we were walking down, the fella, like, walked with us, like his dad, and Nuggie turned around to me and goes, "Hey, is this fella going to follow us for 18 holes to make sure we don't cheat?"
I think he had the spotter.
I was like, no. He's just collecting the ball for his son to save him walking all the way down. And he's like, oh, yes, Sam, good that.
Just conscious playing on his mind.
And then, so we played 17 on the 18th tee. So it was like we played 2 holes. That's when the fella called him the Dubai Duffer. But I just had to keep saying to Nugget, because it wasn't time for coaching. It was more time for, like, just deal with what you've got. Every time he was aiming left, I was like, honestly, like, that tree you're aiming at, aim for the furthest left one. And, like, he was just, like, playing this, like,
big slice
into it. And it was sound for a bit. Yeah. Like, it just got, he got that unlucky, because every shot that he, like, flushed obviously went high right. But it just so happened that there was a big load of gorse everywhere that he hit it. But do you know what? I think it was a proper learning curve from him. And, like, there's sometimes what you need to go and due to realise, don't you, Lynn?
Yeah. Well, he hasn't been playing long, has he?
He only started this year, really. Well, yeah. He has played before, but only started taking it seriously, like thinking about like getting clubs and
yeah,
on all his own set and all that. But yeah, it was good. Good day.
Got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah. It was my first round when I was a birdie for a while.
Didn't you make a birdie?
No, but I had so many little looks from 10
just
as well.
The team.
Well, the other fella in our team is of 19.5, so we got 23 shots. And then on, I think it was stroke index 4 or 5. It would have been 4, wouldn't it? He only had 4 double shots.
Yeah.
He hit this, he was, I think he got a bit tired, so he was playing a bit donkey. And he hit this shot down the 15th. It's onto the green. And we were like, this is for a net one, this, if you knock this in. And so then that would have took us 2 under. And he left it like 6 foot short. I'm like, oh my God, like, please hold this to take us under par. Like, that was the aim of the day. Obviously, the aim's 90 points really in it. But yeah. Once we realised that was not happening.
Miles away.
And then he hit it and it just dropped in the side. And we were like, yes, under par, buzzing. But we didn't come last.
There you go.
And then on the first, Gareth Benson had the TrackMan set up and you had to tear out this little box. And then he sent you like a down the line video of all your numbers and all your stuff. We didn't tell you that it was longest drive. So I was like, when we got the email through, I didn't like give it me all, but even like the people who were offline, it didn't matter.
Based on the
number? It was just distance on the number. So I was like, if I'd have knew that,
you'd have give it some.
I'd have wellied it as hard as I could.
And where'd you come?
Second.
Oh my God.
Anyway, 5 yards.
Unbelievable.
I know, but it was a great day, obviously. Hillside Immaculate as always, and
yeah,
boss little scran afterwards and all that. Everyone was had a few drinks, a raffle, and yeah, it's boss day.
Happy days. Happy day. How's the lesson going?
Yeah, well, I need to go back. I think I'm going to go back to John after a month of drilling this in. But I've got like, because I was standing up through me backswing and through impact, I've sort of nailed the turn down with the right foot, right heel, keep rooting the right heel. But then I'm still sort of standing up through the first turn. So I just need to get the follow through down and get that pivoting around the thing. You know, you see Target exaggerating that.
Pivot.
You see Target exaggerating that, like where he bends over into the swing. Yeah. Like yeah. That's
like squats
that,
into it.
Yeah, that's the sort of the move that
squat
like.
Squat and turn.
Mm, yeah. Whereas I'm like, my first move was my left arse cheek went away from the ball.
Justin Rose does it, doesn't he? Like on his pre-shot routine, he exactly, sort of gets,
exactly
yeah,
that.
Gets right down into
that's
it.
That's the move that I need to sort of get. Whereas like with Dave, I know David always worked through impact and didn't really care about other things as long as you're over the top of the ball. It's just like the same way to get to, different ways to get to the same outcome.
Yeah.
It was good though. I'd highly recommend John O'Neill down at Cheshire Golf Academy at Mersey Valley Golf Club.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking for a lesson.
Cool.
He knows his shiz.
Any golf news then? What's going on?
Well, the Ryder Cup team has been bait, like not done, but it's like they're all the standings. And I think we discussed it last week. I don't think much has changed. Obviously, not none of the big boys.
The American team,
yeah. None of the big boys are there. But obviously, Scotty, Wyndham, Clark, Brian Harman, Koepka, Schauffele, and Cantlay. They're your six for now.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously, Bryson's went out and shot a 58. And what was he under par for the weekend? 21 under for the weekend.
Well,
which
was one of my points why I wanted to bring it up, to be honest.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? And, you know, JT made that bogey on 16, was it?
Yeah.
The par 3, which has obviously cost him the chance of getting in the playoffs.
Well, he chipped in, didn't he, for it? Like, big tag, a hook out the trees and all
so,
that.
I suppose if it comes down to picks, and it may be that they both get a pick, but I don't think you can not pick Bryson now off the back of that.
Well, I think Koepka being in the standings, as long as nothing crazy happens over these next few weeks, I think Koepka's going to at least come be top 6.
Yeah.
So you've got that gives Bryson a bit of a saving
because there's one live guy in there.
Already,
yeah, so if there's one, they'll have 2 or 3.
Exactly.
But then it stretches out then to do you get DJ in for his, you know, for his experience? Do you get Patrick Reed in because of the way he is? Do you get Taylor Gooch in, who's probably been one of the most informed players on live this year? And then you're talking like, are those 6 picks going to be all live players? And what does that do? Because do you pick Justin Thomas? I don't know.
If I was the captain now and you're picking between the Americans, someone who's got Ryder Cup experience, who is good in match play format because he bombs it, he's hole in the world and he's just shot them 2 scores. Like, it's why would you not want Bryson DeChambeau on your team?
That's it. I think if you're looking to pick between Bryson and JT, just off this weekend alone and the way, just off this weekend alone, the way Bryson got it done and JT never, you're going to side with Bryson. But even on form recently, like JT's been struggling, but this week was probably, and JT said it himself after he played, he's like, he was impressed and he was happy with the way he played. And, you know, where did he finish? Top 12 or something? Top 15?
Yeah, 14th, I think.
14th he finished, in the tournament. So he hasn't had a bad tournament. He's not like he's missing cuts every week. So well, he's not playing. He's not playing awful.
Didn't he? 82 something.
Yeah, but.
And it happens. But, like, as you say, I just don't see how he goes.
See, I'm opposite me. I think similar flip side of what happened with the European team at Whistling Straight, where players were getting picks based on their experience. I think JT gets a pick, me.
Yeah, but they got picks based on their experience. And then what happened to the European team?
Yeah.
Got absolutely upended.
So a couple of names you haven't mentioned there. Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler.
Spieth and Fowler, they I think they're still top 20.
Yeah.
Max Homer, Sam Burns, they're all... There's a load of players. Like,
that's what I mean. So you've got six picks. We've mentioned there four players in the PGA, five players in the PGA Tour there, and then we've got four or five on LIV. So there's plenty.
Well,
to
there's more
from.
Than that, isn't it, on the PGA Tour as well? Like, you've got your, like, even that your young ones, like your Thea Galas, you've got
Colin Morikawa.
Did I say Sam Burns? Yeah,
you said Sam Burns. Yeah,
so he's a winner. Then you've like it's yeah. the Tony Finau. Like, you've got the depth and talent's unbelievable that people are going to miss out.
Yeah, this is probably what making me lean more towards that if Zach Johnson is going for a, I'm going to side with the PGA Tour and pick PGA Tour over LIV players, then you might come to that situation where it's somebody or Bryson. Because based on that 58, Bryson...
I think Bryson's going to be first pick.
He's the front runner, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that all...
pans out.
Yeah. Like, what if you were picking six now, it would be your six?
Well, 1,000,000% Bryson would be my first pick.
Bryson one, yeah.
And then you'd have got to take Spieth, haven't you?
Yeah, two.
Then I'd take Burns.
Yeah, three.
I'd take Finau.
Yeah, four.
I don't know about Morikawa, you know.
Would you not take Ricky Fowler? Max Homer?
Homer, definitely.
Five, yeah.
And then do you take a Fowler?
Take the LIV guy, Dustin Johnson. Do you take DJ?
And then take DJ, yeah.
Would you take DJ?
You got three LIV, then everyone's... No one can say that he left them out then, innit?
So you go Bryce and DJ, and obviously Brooks gets in anyway for your three LIVs, and then you've got nine PJ Tour players.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who would you take?
I'd probably the same, but I reckon I'd throw JT in me and
over
I'd probably
what?
Take Finau out.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have JT, Sam Burns, Max Homer, DJ, Jordan Spieth, Bryson.
Yeah.
That'd be my six.
I don't know, just with Thomas not really like doing, I don't know. He's a bit of a letdown, and like not
he,
obviously.
You know, he's had a bad season. He has. He's finished 71st in the FedEx, which for him is just nowhere near where he's a top 10 player in the world. You know, so on his day,
of course,
he's nowhere near the level that he wants to be playing at. But ultimately, in Ryder Cups, you know, in foursomes you're playing half the shots, and in better ball, you've got a partner there who can pull you through, and you can feed off adrenaline and. You can turn up on the day. That's why Poulter done so well, you know.
Yeah.
Poulter, you know, put him for 72 holes on his own. You know, he doesn't win as many tournaments as your JTs and people like that, you know, but you put him in that environment where he's maybe playing half the shots and he's, you know, he's in a better ball. He needs to just perform on one hole and chip in or hole a long putt. He turned up every time, didn't he? I think JT's the type of guy who, on his day, and he didn't play that bad this week, so... I think, although he didn't get in the FedEx playoffs, I think he'd done enough this week to prove that he's not chopping it.
I'm going to make a tweak to my team.
Go on.
I'd take Sam Burns out and I'd stick Cameron Young in.
Okay. Interesting one, that. He'd be a rookie, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. Based on what?
Just based on his ranking, to be honest.
Where is he?
He's eighth in the standings.
FedEx standings?
No, in the FedEx standings, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we should find out soon enough. Does he, after the FedEx, he makes his picks, does he?
Yeah, and then it's another week then until the Europeans, isn't it?
Yeah. Do we do ours before the BMW champs or?
Just before Wentworth, innit?
Yeah. Okay.
So the European team, there's three people who are definitely in.
Okay.
McIlroy, Rahm, and McIntyre.
Tommy not definitely in, though?
Not on the Vigneault list. He's on the world list, him.
So he's on the world list. Fitzpatrick, Hatton, and Tommy.
Yeah, and then you've got a few fringes.
So McIntyre like... definitely in, yeah. It's brilliant, that.
Yeah, he had a hash next to his name, like in the.
So, yeah, you've got Hovland. Other than them three, you've got Rory, Rahm, McIntyre. Then you've got Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton. And I'm going to throw Shane Lowry in there.
Well, then you've got your fringe, like Seb Strachas ahead of Lowry, and then you've got like your Yannick Paul and your.
I just think the way the relationship Shane Lowry's got with Tommy and a few others and the type of character he is, I think he's someone that you want in your team.
Of course, yeah, you do want him. Like, but Yannick Paul, Maronk, Straka, Perez and Højgaard, they're like your next in lines. Rasmus.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little sneaky Liv fella as well, knocking about.
Richard Bland.
Ortegi.
Is he? See, Richard Bland finished third last week as well.
He's on the European point. He's not getting no points, is he?
I think, did he resign from the DP? I think the guys who resigned can't as well, didn't they? Yeah. Who do I pick then?
Or do you take Alex?
Alex Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
No, he's not ready yet, is he?
Seems to be.
He's flying, like, but... I'm not just saying it because obviously we've had him on the pod and I'd take you and me.
Yeah.
Just, he obviously needs to prove it over the next couple of weeks, but I don't know.
He's got a chance to defend, hasn't he, coming up?
Yeah, and he grew up playing in the Scottish team with Bobby McIntyre. They've got a good relationship, haven't they?
Mm.
Bobby, man. Still call him Bobby.
Bobby, though.
Yeah.
But all will be prevailed on that.
Prevailed or revealed?
Whatever you want.
All will be prevailed. We will prevail.
That is unbelievable.
Other golf news then, the PGA Tour schedule.
Kicking off the first of it.
Yeah.
Which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah. 36 events in total. A new name for the designated events. They've gone with signature events.
So they went from elevated
to designated.
To designated to signature.
There's eight of them.
There's some gobshite getting paid for that, you know. Isn't there, though, somewhere?
Well, it's interesting because there's eight signature events in total. As you say, starting on the first of is the Century Tournament of Champions. The next one is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. That's at the end of January. Then the Genesis Invitational, which is 12th of Feb. Arnold Palmer Invitational, RBC Heritage, Wells Fargo, the Memorial, and the Travelers.
So it's one a month.
Yeah, so they're the eight signature events.
Or two now, in Jan, isn't it?
Yeah, so the way the signature ones work is, as it was announced last year, they're going to be limited field tournaments with increased prize money and 700 FedEx Cups points to the winner.
Yeah.
So what the way it'll work is you'll have...
700's a lot. Like,
yeah. Well, it used to be 600 for majors, didn't it?
Yeah.
So 700 trumps that.
So surely they must boost the majors up as well then?
Probably. I'd say the majors must match it at least, mustn't they? Yeah. So the three player-hosted invitationals as well, so the Genesis, the Arnold Palmer, and the Memorial, they're going to have a cut. In other words, they said they were going to be no-cut events. These are going to have a 36-hole cut, and the top 50 in ties or any player within 10 shots of the lead will make the cut.
So what, only like 20 people miss out or something? How many people, 70 in each event?
70 field event, yeah. So
what are they doing that for? Just so then Liv can't say it's You copying?
Yeah, probably. I don't know, something to do with that, isn't it? So the way that they are working it is eligibility for the signature events. They're saying that the field sizes are anticipated to be between 70 and 80 players, so they're not putting a direct number on it.
Right.
They're saying it includes the 50 members from the 2022-23 FedEx Cup standing. So this week is important because the top 50 from after this week that go into next week are the ones that are going to play in these events. So it's good time.
So have they boosted the money up as well, have they said?
Yeah, so they've, well, these elevated events, these are the ones that are going to be for the $25 million, is it? Maybe fact check that, 20 or 25 million.
The fact check for a while.
No, I know, yeah.
But decent with the alpha facts.
They are increasing the paces on these.
So no talk of like live then, is there, like, or players coming back and
not
all that?
Yeah, they haven't, no. That's open, isn't it, now that they've had this chat with the PIF and there's sort of some sort of deal on the table, that'll probably be more news coming on that. But it's going to be the top 50 members in the 22-23 FedEx Cup standings and then 15 members who can play their way in through the next 10, it's called, in the Swing Five.
Right.
So that only accumulates to 65 players and they're saying the field can be between 70 and 80 players. So is that going to be spots for live guys? Is that going to be spots for invitations? We just don't know yet. So they are going to want to prop those fields up and make them as strong as possible.
Well, so I was thinking, like, if you've got a major champion, if Brooks wins like another major next year or something like that, then it's like he could be somewhere in the FedEx standings, couldn't he? Whereas if he's in the world,
definitely.
You know what I mean? It's mad, isn't it?
Well, what's interesting about this one as well is, because they're saying it's the top 50, we know now Justin Thomas has finished 71st. So he's at this moment in time, he is not guaranteed in these events next year. So he's not starting in any of these signature events.
Nice.
But obviously you can get through the next 10, which represents the top 10 members that are not otherwise exempt from the FedEx standings. And then the Swing Five includes the top five FedEx Cup point earners that are not otherwise exempt from the swing of the full field and the additional events preceding each signature event. So you can.
So
play
what about does this fall season count towards it?
Yeah.
So we can, if Thomas has a good little run now, he'll be in.
Yeah, so if he has a good run now and he finishes.
The top 50 will be cemented.
And then the top 10 from there, we'll get in.
Yeah, so say the top 50 from the BMW.
Yeah, so
and
the top 50 are guaranteed.
So then
everyone.
All them fall events. Yep. Obviously, they'll have points, so then they could go up the rankings when probably the few of the bigger lads aren't playing. So Thomas could be get himself up to 20th if he won a cut, if he done a bit, couldn't he?
Yeah.
So then he'll just be in there, won't he?
Well, at the end,
anyone that does that sort of run
in that top 10.
Yeah,
yeah, but he can move out of it though.
Oh, of course, yeah, of course.
So he's got the thing is, because he's not got into the top 50 as of next week, that top 50 will be decided. He's not guaranteed in all eight, so he's going to have to play in some of the other events.
Yeah, I see.
Which you probably weren't planning on. But in any event, that just props those events up.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. So I've not seen no comments off the back of it, but it's interesting, obviously, to have a look at how it's all going to pan out. Because, yeah, there's going to be eight big events.
Well, you've got one a month there till July, and then you've got a major each month as well. So it's
and the Masters and the Players as well,
and then the Players. So really, yeah. You've got 13 monsters, haven't you?
Yeah,
sick. Mm. It's good for the old podcast content, anyway, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And obviously, we've got the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. We're concluding that season. We've got a bonus full season, which is going to run us up to the beginning of December, which we'll announce how that's going to work, and we've done the schedule for that now and the prizes, so we're going to announce that next week. But then as of the January the 1st, the Century Tournament of Champions will start a brand new season that run right up to August. That'll be our first major full season on the new platform, won't it?
That's it, and we'll just do every event.
Yeah, every single event.
I think we should do, if it's an elevated event, we'll put extra prizes on.
Yeah.
And if it's, obviously with the majors, we'll run their own leaderboards. And then that's enough complications for now.
Any more golf news?
No, just just the golf that's been popping.
That time again, then?
That time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
I don't want to hear your birdie.
I think we all know what my birdie is, don't
your
we?
Your birdie's my bogey.
Is it? Why, because I've done so well? We done so well?
Yeah.
Yeah. You going to ask me when I finished?
Now, my birdie is Mark Caddian at the JCB.
Thank you. That's my birdie too.
Yeah.
Let me talk you through it. So, for anyone who doesn't know, the past week on the Legends Tour, I caddied at the JCB Championships for Bradley Dredge. We could have been 6 under through six first day. I'll talk you through that now. So, we started off on the back nine on day one. We birdied 10. We birdied 11. 12, we knocked it to 4.5 foot, just missed it. 13, par 5, we knocked it just short of the green in 2. Didn't get up and down, although it was a tough chip because it went into the rough, and obviously give ourselves both a 12-footer. Didn't convert that. Next hole, par 3, knocked it to about, I'm going to say 6-7 foot. Missed that. And then on the next hole, the 15th, knocked it to about 10 foot and missed that. So, albeit not gimmies, you got to knock the putts in, but gave ourselves so many chances the first six
holes. Sounds like you need to go and see our man Phil Kenyon there.
He did get up and down and hold a few putts throughout the day and obviously held the putts on 1 and 2 to make the birdies. But have you played JCB before? Those greens are like mountains. They are so undulating. There's, I think positioning on those greens was key, just because if you were slightly offline, you know, you'd turn a 6 foot, 8 foot putt into a 30 foot putt off the front edge of the green.
That's really, yeah?
Yeah, we were fortunate in a sense that it was wet. Speaking to a couple of the players who played it last year, and they said last year it was rock hard. So you had to be really precise on your positioning. But yeah, gave ourselves loads of chances. First 6 holes, we were 2 under through six. Then parred in, bogeyed 18 and bogeyed 1. So going on to the second hole, which was our 11th, we were level par and could have minimum been 4 under.
Really, yeah.
Just the difference. But yeah, tough greens. It was his
no
first
one
time
really
there.
Was shooting them. Like there was a 4 under, wasn't there? But there was no one really like shooting 7, 8 unders, was there?
And I think it's the greens. The greens protect the course so well because, you know, because of like how difficult they are to read and how slopey they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only ever seen anyone put a picture up of the last and the little 17. JCB tee boxes.
Yeah.
Or that island green, which what's that, 17?
17, yeah.
And then the thing is, you never see any other parts of the court. You never see any other holes.
I know. So we had a couple of bogeys coming in and finished 2 over for the first day. That was easily the worst score that we could have had because he played well.
Really?
And then second day, it's pretty much the same story. We've given ourselves loads of chances on the front nine. Probably could have been 4 or 5 under. Front nine, we were 1 under. Got it back to 1 over. Oh, we were 2 under, sorry. Got it back to level for the tournament. And then bogeyed 17. That was our only bogey of the day.
No way.
But unbelievable experience. Top, top guy. Pleasure to caddy for him, to be honest. It was a great experience for me. Obviously learning more because he's so thorough in his preparations. So we went on the Wednesday for a practice round and walking on every green, looking at where the pins could potentially be and where to not to miss. You know, it was really thorough and really professional the way he was doing it. So it was great for me to experience that and to learn loads from it as well. Obviously, the best moment that we had was on the second day, the birdie we had on 8. So 8 was probably 8 and 18 were probably the toughest holes throughout the week. Tee shot on 8 is uphill. Bunker about 260 on the left hand side and a tight entrance to a bit of a wider fairway once you get past 265, 270, but it's tree line down the right as well. So if you hug the left hand side, you bring that bunker into play, and it's the rough was really thick all week as well, probably why the scoring was the way it was. He's hit this tee shot down the right hand side. We've got lucky because it's clipped a tree and came back into the fairway. Got like 140, 145, something like that. But where the pin was, it was probably a 125-yard shot because the wind was behind.
Oh, yeah.
So he was saying his 50-degree goes around that distance, but you're heavily reliant on the wind doing what it's doing right now. If the wind drops, you're probably coming up a bit shorter.
Was it a wedge 50 degree?
A bladed 50 degree, yeah.
Yeah, you need to watch the spin on them as well.
That's it, yeah. So that was another thing, because they were wet. It's trying to control the spin. So we're talking through this shot because we were waiting for the green to clear. And it was either play the 50 full, play the 125, 128 shot, and the wind will take it, the 140, spin it up, or it's a controlled wedge. So we talked through it for a couple of minutes, and we both agreed, just go for the wedge. And he talked through it. He said, I need to land it here. And if I land it here because of the green contours, it'll run out and we should be pretty close. Honestly, it was half a roll from going in.
No way.
Exactly the way that he said it was going to be played was exactly how he played it. And it was like that much from going in. Two rolls, and that would have went in. So that was a kick-in birdie. Second birdie day, got us back to level par there. But yeah, we finished one over for the tournament with the bogey on 17. And then, as you know, the final day got called off because of the weather conditions. So tied 19th, we finished. But yeah, that's my birdie for the week. Great experience. And yeah, hopefully get back on it soon.
Well, my bogey is that now you've finished higher than me as a caddy, so I've got to go and do it again somewhere. Yeah,
I'm the top caddy. I'm the top bogey boy caddy now.
What's your bogey?
So my bogey is Bradley invited me to go and do it again at Hanbury Manor this week. But obviously with the missus being due on Monday, I had to turn it down. So bittersweet. I'm obviously really excited to bring my son into the world. But I am. Can't wait to meet
course,
him.
No, of course.
Yeah, also disappointed that we were on such a good roll, got on dead well. And obviously we done well together. And it would have been nice to just carry the rhythm on. So, yeah, my bogey's just a bit disappointed that I can't get there this week, really.
So my bust is the rain delay killing the final round.
I agreed with JD, didn't I?
That's what I mean. I was going to say that, but I thought that would be your bust.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know this as well, on the final day, got grouped with John Daly, my hero since I was a kid.
Modelled your body on him and everything.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I don't think I haven't done smoked a biff there. I have Diet Cokes, ate loads of chocolate sweets. I have a partial to a whiskey. No, but JD and JD as well.
Tong Chang JD.
Yeah, that was the group with Bradley Dredge. So, yeah, just got called off. Didn't even get to shake his hand and say hello. So, gutted, but I'm also gutted the fact that, you know, the way that Bradley was playing them first 2 days, you know, convert a few of those putts and it could have been a low one and potentially could have climbed the leaderboard on that final day. But yeah, it all got cancelled and rightly so. It was flooded, to be fair. And I think by the time it got called, it was about 12 midday. It didn't look like it was letting up. And yeah, there was not much left to do but then to call it, really. So yeah, congratulations to Peter Baker who got the victory. That was his second Legends Tour win. But yeah, that was my birdie bogey bush for the week.
It is. On to golf around the place.
Yeah, what have we got?
So obviously Lucas Glover started tied with Billy Horschel for the final round of the Wyndham.
Yep.
And then Glover's carded a 2 under par 70 to get minus 20. But Billy Horschel shot 2 over. Obviously, goes to 18 under for 3 rounds, and then he shot 2 over final day.
Yeah.
Did you see Billy Horschel, by the way? Have you seen him? He's got a beard.
Has he, yeah?
Yeah, like,
no,
like
I'm not seeing him. I didn't catch any of the golf, to be honest. I catched a bit on the Sunday, but didn't see much of Horschel. 43 years of age, Lucas Glover.
I know, yeah. I thought he hadn't won since, like, 09, but he won a couple of years ago.
He did, yeah, yeah.
So we think he's won 4 times, including the 2009 US Open.
Yeah.
So...
But news that we haven't announced, Tiger Woods on the advisory board, yeah.
So he is.
We didn't do a podcast last week, but that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
If anyone's going to get respect off the players, it's your main man, isn't it?
Well, I think he'll just run it the way that the players, like he'll just be like, come to me first, like I, and then I'll sort it instead of like,
yeah,
because he's obviously not playing as well, so he's got another less things to do, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably, yeah, he's like the broker, isn't he?
Which is no better broker, really, is there?
No, definitely not, no. Yeah, JT, obviously we mentioned him at the beginning of the pod there. You know, he needed, well, after that eagle on 15, he needed to par in, really, to get his place. And he said in his interview, he's hit that approach shot into the par 3, 16th, and the wind's completely flipped on him, and he's come miles short and left himself a difficult up and down and never converted it. But he's done everything but birdie the last, didn't he?
Oh, like, yeah, even that big swing, as we were saying before, big swing out the trees, big hook, and then he's just chipped up, bounce, and it's just like, it was a half a bounce too much, because otherwise that could have just dropped in, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Which is disappointing for him, but as he said, though, he's like, there's always someone in this position every year, just so happens this year to me.
Yeah.
Which is, nothing's given in this life.
No one he can take positives from the fact that, you know, he gave himself a chance.
Yeah.
Which is all he can ask for, really, isn't it?
1,000,000%.
Yeah, no, it's looking forward to the playoffs getting started now as we conclude the season, isn't it?
No, it'd be good that when we get onto that in a minute. Yeah. The man, Jack Williams, his cousin, Chloe, she won final qualifying for the
five under, yeah,
for the Women's Open.
Yeah,
but it was mad. So they had 12 spots, and then they had 13 players on 2 under for 5 spots left.
Yeah.
So it went to a sudden death playoff, and then 5 of them got in, and then all of them birdied the next, and then 2 of them bogeyed the next, and then it took a 4th extra hole to get another one of them in, and then it went too dark, so 2 of them had to come back today, so I don't even know who got the final 2 spots.
Oh, did they?
Or the final spot, yeah.
Wow.
So it was a bit of a crazy sort of 13-woman playoff.
Wow. Yeah, I did see that it went to a playoff. I didn't know the outcome of it, though, yeah.
Yeah, so that's to tee up at Walton Heath next week, or this week, sorry.
This week, yeah. They've done the first round groupings, haven't they? Charlie Hull is with Lydia Ko and Nelly Korda for the first 2 days. Sick, yeah, quality
group. That'll be
that.
Good. And do you know what? Like, since, like, obviously the rise of women's golf as well, and it's just becoming, like, I don't know, it's always on Sky and that now. Yeah. Like, when you do watch the golf, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I
was trying to find you at the JCB and stumbled across the Scottish Open. And it was great watch that.
And I think as well now with the technology, you know, obviously the women's game is getting more money thrown into it. You know, you've got the Aramco supporting the LET now as well with their purses. So the girls on the LET are getting more opportunities to play for bigger purses. And I think with the way technology is and the way, you know, ball speeds, I think the next generation coming through, we're going to see a lot more speed in the golf swings, a bit more distance. Like that Maya Stark was a prime example. Like, she absolutely smokes it, doesn't she? How far
she hit it? On. She had 6 in a row. She was putting for 6 in a row.
I know, and she had a hole in one. Generally, they've always hit it a bit shorter, haven't they? So it'd be interesting to see as the next generation comes through with all the technology in the clubs.
Well, it's even like gym work and all that as well.
Yeah.
It's
working on, obviously, Matt Fitzpatrick and Rory McIlroy and Bryson were prime examples of, you put the work in, you can generate that speed.
Like all that size 0 and the girls being dead thin and everyone wanting to be like a model and all that, it's sort of gone now. Whereas like fit now and all the legs are like proper muscly and that. Like, look at Charlie Hull's calves, do you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
it's like the that's where all like your power comes from as well, all from your hips, and they're just, they're going to start hitting it miles. But the one girl that doesn't hit that far, Céline Boutier,
she's flying.
And she's won twice and back to back on the bounce there, a major Scottish. And then now she could, if she teed up this week and won, it's 2 majors in 3 weeks.
Brian Harman's a prime example of that, isn't it? Doesn't miss it far and wins the Open by what, 4 or 5, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think, yeah, distance isn't everything, but it's a lot more entertaining to watch, isn't it?
If you're watching,
like Rory's great to watch, isn't he? Bryson's even Brooks, like there's a lot of men who hit it far now. But I think, I was really impressed with Maya Stark, to be honest.
I remember a couple of podcasts ago when I could have clipped it in saying that Rose Zhang was going to win that week, but like my money's on Rose Zhang this week.
Yeah.
She got the invite, didn't she?
Yeah. And do you know what? Has she finished top 10 in all the others that she started so far?
I didn't think she'd done too well in something else that she played in. I seen her down the board.
The Evian, I think she finished tied 9th in the end.
Did she? Yeah.
And her first one that she done, she finished top 10.
She won, didn't she?
Not the major.
Oh, the major. Sorry,
first tournament she won, yeah.
Another thing about the women's schedule there, that's 4 majors in 8 weeks, you know. Bit much, isn't it?
A lot of travelling as well, isn't it? Because obviously the Evian's in France, the AIG is in the UK.
Mm. And then the other two, obviously, in America. The
other three. Yeah.
Mm. The other three, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, yeah. So, what have we got this week?
But speaking of bombers, just before we move on, oh my God, hold your horses, Bryson DeChambeau. But I looked at the yardage of the course, and I couldn't, you know, Liv doesn't put the yardage on the website, does it? So if, when I looked at the backest or the furthest back tees, it says 6377. Jen, that's right. I suppose Bryson was getting close to a few greens, wasn't he?
I think, yeah. I think, you know, I know one of the par fives was 212 yards or something, though. So it's
what?
One of the par threes, sorry. One of the par threes. I know he's hitting 9-9 to that, and he made a two on the day that on the highlights scene. But I think ultimately, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter to a certain extent the distance of the golf course, because if you're driving it onto every green, but you've still got to hit the shots, execute them,
oh, of course,
hold
yeah.
the putts. You know what I mean? That hole on that putt on the last for the 58 was no gimme, was it? You
oh,
know what I mean?
Way. Absolutely not.
But yeah.
But when he come out, obviously he shot 61 on the Saturday, hasn't he? And then he's come out Sunday, and he's minus five through six, and even on the fifth he was in. He put it in the bunker, and then he was starting for. Like, he obviously put out a birdie, birdie, par, birdie. And then he's put it in bunker on the sixth, short-sided, holds the bunker shot. Yeah. Birdie's the next. It's like, started with seven threes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely mental.
Yeah. What hole was it that he bogeyed? Was it the...
I think it was the seventh or
yeah,
eighth.
Yeah, the seventh yeah. or eighth, wasn't it? Yeah, on the par three. He made a four.
But he bounced straight back and made a birdie. So he shot 58. Obviously, you know, it's a par 70, but he shot 58 with a bogey. Like, he's probably left... Like when you're playing like that, you might have left four out there, and he gets 54 million for that.
I was thinking, yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say. Yeah, like, he announced that, didn't he, on the first live event? If you shoot a 54, you get $54 million.
And it's getting close, isn't it? They're getting closer yeah. to that. You might have to drop it to 50 or something.
Yeah.
But Pereira was pushing him all the way. Like when on the highlights, I didn't catch much of the goal because I was busy the weekend. But like Pereira was knocking it to like 20 foot, knocking it in, like stiffing it. And then it was matching, obviously, because it's at the same time. It's at the same time, isn't it? Matching them blow for blow.
Yeah.
But Bryson was just uncatchable, wasn't he? Yeah. And he went, like as you say, that put on the last.
I think so. Yeah, I think like when someone's on that type of form and playing that well with the experience he's got, major winner, you know, being there, done it. I don't think he's someone that you're going to catch at that stage, is it?
I know, but it's just the put. It's his putting. His putting was just unbelievable. Like the. He was holding, like, obviously that big one, he held a couple of, like, 20-odd footers.
Yeah.
But then he was cleaning up the 8-footers, 10-footers, little sliders, holding bunker shots. It just had everything.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It was great to watch, wasn't it?
It was,
I did, but again, like you, I watched the highlights of it, but obviously when I seen that he shot a 58, didn't watch it live, I went back and watched it, and it was a great watch, yeah.
So, this week, we've got the start of the playoffs. No DP World again for another week.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? The way they just
been off
big
for
break.
A bit, hasn't it?
Yeah. That doesn't help in your preparations for the Ryder Cup.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah, I think it's a little ploy, mate.
Well, because we're favourites.
Well, yeah, just
are we favourites?
I wouldn't say. But maybe.
Nah, yeah, we're not favourites. Like, I don't know. There's some top players there, isn't there? It's just half.
I think it's the hounding of, or the pounding
it's like,
of
I, the way I see it is like, you know, if you look in football terms, like Man City and Arsenal in the Charity Shield game on Saturday, you know, head-to-head, 11v11, it's quite competitive. But then when you look at City's bench compared to Arsenal's bench, it's not competitive at all.
Mm.
City have got a much stronger squad. I think in similar terms, that's what the Ryder Cup's like. If you put our top eight against their top eight, you know, it's matched. It's very even, but if you put their probably last four against our last four, they're stronger.
Yeah,
that's the way I
well,
see
hopefully
it.
Hopefully, it pans out the way that the Charity Shield panned out.
Yeah, we went on pens.
Yeah, just go to a sudden death and Tommy.
Well, this is what I mean. Yeah,
maybe not Tommy actually.
Obviously, the singles is obviously a big one, isn't it? Because everyone's individually got to go out. But if you get your partnerships right.
That's it.
You know what I mean? They're all capable of going low, aren't they?
Well, when we reviewed them all, remember, like, you were talking about them all doing, like, the little pod exercises and, like, staying in the teams and all that sort of stuff. Like, that sort of team bonding, it helps 1,000,000%, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I think Luke Donald's the type to get the most out of his team as well.
Yeah.
And could be a good captain.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So we've got, it's at TPC Southwind, par 70, 7,243 yards.
Yeah.
The only player to jump into the top 70 was Lucas Glover. He went from 112 to 49th with his win.
If he doesn't win there, then does JT get in?
Yeah.
Or was he in anyway?
No, he went from 112th to 49th.
That's, yeah. But if he'd finished second, would he have still got in?
Unsure on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that could happen this week. Rory could be the first time to win it back to back, which is pretty astounding, really. Isn't it? I can't believe no one's ever done it, to be honest.
Well, he could go back to back with the DP as well, couldn't he? Because he won both last year. He's in line to do it again, isn't he? So
imagine that.
Is that who you fancy this week? Is it Rory?
No,
no,
nope.
I think looking at the field, you know, Colin Morikawa is struggling, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's done enough to get into the top 50, so he's going to be there next week. But I think he needs a really strong finish this week in order to poke his nose in at the Ryder Cup. I think if he has a poor finish to the season, I don't think he'll have done enough to get a pick.
Yeah.
And he's he's a quality player.
What can happen at this FedEx now? Whoever has a solid 3 weeks or wins the FedEx or wins one of these events, and then it's the same format, isn't it? Where they all start at whatever under
in the final one.
Yeah. So it could put a real cherry on the top of the real world number one, because it's passed hands a few times now, hasn't it? So if Rory goes back to back, he's had all them seconds, he's had all a great season. Rahm's won four times. That'll be the icing. Scheffler had that great run and he's done well. It's like,
yeah,
it'll say, right, you are the best, cemented now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, like, I think so.
Unless someone else comes and steals it, like, but between them three, I think it's between them three, mate.
I do. Yeah, I think it's, and it's, so it should be, you know, the three players that have constantly been a theme. With Scheffler had a record, like, not finishing outside the top 12 for over a year or whatever it was. That's Mr. Consistent, isn't it, Rory?
I wonder if he's going to change his putter.
I know, yeah, because if he could put...
Not down for anyone,
you're right now.
What picks have you done?
So, for my picks, pot one, I've gone Tommy Fleetwood.
Who, eh?
On the basis that he lost in the playoff at the RBC, and since he's had two top tens in his last two starts, his last start was the Open Championship. We all seen how close he was. I just think he's playing at the moment as somebody who is not too far away from getting that win.
Yeah.
And I think this week could be the week for him. In a shortened field, he's only got to beat 69 players at the start rather than the 150-odd that he's normally got to defeat, albeit it is a strong top 70. But then I just think Tommy's trending. And this week he just...
That's what we can call next week's episode if he wins.
Tommy's trending. He's trending. And I've seen a post that he put up this week where he's been spending a lot of time with Butch Harmon, working on his game. So, you know, everything that he's done in his time off from the Open is prepping towards these playoffs. So obviously didn't get to play in them last year because of circumstances, and took some time off, didn't he? But,
yeah,
you know, I think this is really, if Tommy is ever going to win a PGA Tour event over these next three events where he's got less
really
people in the field.
Really set him up for next season, like to get a few next season.
I think so, yeah. I think if he gets this over the line, you could see Tommy probably win majors next year once he's got that... What's it off your back? What is it?
Duck
off your back, yeah.
So I've gone for John Rahm. He's won the Business Comcast leaderboard, and then he's won four times this season already. Second in scoring average, first in birdie average, second in strokes gained, third in approach, third in greens regulation. He's just an animal.
He is an animal, yeah. No explanation needed there.
Have you gone for pot two?
I've gone Brian Harman.
So have I.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah.
It's hard to go just bet against him. Last time out, he played so well and done so well, isn't it? So, yeah, I think just solely based on the Open Championship.
Well, do you know, I was looking at the Open, but then I went deeper in it because I was going to pick him anyway. And then because I thought that I think he's be looking to back it up to say it's not just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Because the way he was speaking, he's like, I've earned this, I've been here waiting for this a long time, I've put the work in and all that, which is like, I felt like he really had a point to prove. So then he just ran away with that, I think, getting to do it over again over in America. Yeah. But then he's like, his driving accuracy is 8th, his scrambling is 1st, 12th scored on average. And then his strokes gained like 36. So he's obviously, it's a top 40 in it. But if he gets everything moving together, you know what he can do.
Definitely. No, I agree. I think he's definitely not one of the favourites going in because of obviously the, the star-studded field that's ahead of them. But, you know, it was the same star-studded field at the Open,
didn't
it?
So. If not more star-studded.
Yeah.
Who have you gone, pot three?
I've gone Thomas Dietrich. Yeah, I just think he's had a really impressive season so far. He's made 19 cuts. Obviously, it's his rookie season on the tour, and he's got into the FedEx playoff top 70, I think, in pot three. He was up there again last week when he played. So I think he finished top 20 again. So yeah, I think as a pot three, he's a strong pick, and he's definitely somebody who Luke Donald will have his eye on as a potential pick for the Ryder Cup.
I've gone Sahith Theogala. He's seventh in putting average, and he's 49th in strokes gained, 32nd in total putting. Obviously, you know what his long game's like when he's on. Obviously, he can be a bit erratic.
Yeah.
That's why he's down in pot 300-1. But, yeah.
It's a bit different, this, because there's no cut, is there? So everyone's guaranteed points.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just how well your player does to get your points. It's guaranteed points for the next 3 weeks, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Who have you gone for pot four?
Tom Hoge.
I was going to go for him, but then I changed him based on his...
Yeah.
His stats weren't as good as my pick.
Yeah, well, he missed the cut at the Open, but in his last two starts, other than that, he's had two top 20 finishes when he's played over in the Scottish Open, and then at the 3M Open, he finished tied 18th.
Right.
So I think on current form, obviously, take the Open out. It's Lynx Golf, isn't it? He's not playing Lynx Golf now. I think Tom Hoge's one of them where when it's on, he can win.
No, of course.
Never mind. Yeah. Just like play well. So it was a pot four, and obviously, his credentials, it's the playoffs, essentially a fresh start to the season for these three. And it's just work your way in and see how he gets on. So, yeah, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Nick Taylor.
Yeah.
He's having a good season, yeah. 175-1. He's 25th strokes gained, 22nd in approaching, 35th in strokes gained putting.
Yeah.
Which I was very surprised to see him all the way down in pot four with them sorts of stats.
Yeah.
I think his scrambling was up there in the 20s. So his overall is good. I just don't think he puts it all together on every week. So it's obviously, I think he won once, hasn't he?
Beat Tommy in the playoffs, didn't he?
That's his only win, though.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got good feels.
Yeah.
And he can obviously close.
It's his second win on the tour, I believe.
Oh, yeah. But not this season.
Just this season.
Yeah,
just
the I thought.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's our picks and pots done. Like, I don't know.
Are we going to talk about last week? What happens?
Do you know what? I literally forgot all about it. Alex didn't do the pots till late.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't do the pod, so I didn't do my notes. And anyone else that wants to blame, but apart from my picks.
Well, I was in the exact same situation as you, and I done all right. I finished fourth again.
Did you? Yeah.
I'm trending quite well, to be honest. I have lost my second spot, but Richard Healy, who's been leading all season pretty much by quite a way, he only got 30 points last week, so he's now on 1,670 points. He's closely followed by Graham Lowther, who's on 1,510 points. He's only 160 points behind him now, and then I'm in third on 1,485, so I'm only 185 points off the top. So with three tournaments
to go. How many
points
am I off you?
You're 140 off me.
Come on, Taylor.
Yeah, so pot one, three, and four will decide it for me and you this week because we've gone for the same one. But yeah, it's interesting because, then Greg is 15 points behind you, and then Richie Dock is another 15 points behind Greg, tied with Josh. So, yeah, the top three get prizes this year. So I've got you four chasing me, and I'm chasing the top two. So it's going to be an interesting finish, to be fair. And actually, points has worked out quite well. You know, it's all quite tight as we go into the FedEx playoffs. There's no cuts now, so there'll be no minus points. It'll basically just be how high up in the leaderboard can your players finish? Because if you think about it, when we get to the next week in the top 50, you're only looking for the top 20 to start getting the points individually, aren't you?
Mm.
So it'll be an interesting finish. Just before we do finish the pod today, obviously shout out to Jack McPhail, who through the Faldo series has got a couple of Challenge Tour starts, which is unbelievable. And Jack played in final open quals, didn't he?
Yeah.
One of the lads who's wearing a appear on this season. And then obviously this week is the final tier one 100K pace on the Clutch Tour. So we've got Max Baxendale, Hayden Stanislas Tyer and Jack and Joe Brooks all playing in that this week. Up at Slaley Hall. So good luck to the lads playing in that. And I know Chappie obviously be playing Tartan Tour this season. They're not back out until the end of August, but we'll keep everyone posted on how the Pearn athletes are doing as we progress through the final part of the season. I know a lot of them will all be going to DP World Q School this year. So
yeah. Which is, I know a lot of them are going. I know Hayden and Pete from Formbjord, they're going straight up to, or a couple of weeks after, Fairmont for the international series. One day shootout, six spots.
For the Asian tour?
For the Asian tour, yeah.
That's what I mean. There's options now, isn't there? I think that's one thing that the Live Money's done. It's created opportunities. You know, you've got an Asian tour event up at Clubhouse coming up in the next few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well,
Pete played with that Andy Ogletree at Open Qualifying. Yeah. And he was speaking to him about it, just, like telling the route and what he's done and how you can money you can earn and stuff. So he was like, seems good.
Knowledge is power, isn't it? You know, exactly, if you've got the information, go for it, yeah. Why not?
That's it.
But yeah, obviously looking forward to watching the final major of the year this year with the women.
That's it.
Obviously good luck to Gemma Driver and Charlie Hull as always.
Yep.
Like to support the podcast alumni, don't we? And yeah, looking forward to watching the playoffs and the DP World Tour coming back on. And other than that, we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Thank you.